Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, I didn't have to be real old to discover that life can be really hard sometimes. And I'm sure that you would feel the same way, that you didn't have to be real old to discover life is difficult, life is hard. And, you know, we try to plan things, we try to work things out according to how we think we want them to go. And, you know, it just doesn't always go that way. And then we deal with, the frustration or disappointment or the hurt that goes along with it, whether it was something we just couldn't achieve or whether we felt like we weren't given an opportunity or someone else got in the way or hurt us or whatever it is. Or we just found out that within ourselves we have some bad tendencies or habits or whatever it is that, you know, didn't help us. And we sometimes give in to those things. And so, you know, whether we are a believer in Christ or whether we are not, it rains on all of us. You know, this last week, if you live in this area, I'm guessing it was windy no matter where you lived, right? It didn't matter if you were a believer or an unbeliever. The 50-mile-an-hour winds, they were here. And, you know, depending on where you live, you might feel it a little more than somebody else. But, you know, those things happen in this life. There are other things that happen in this life, whether we believe in Christ or not. It's just life. But, you know, we have to remember that, you know, the things in this life, they have seasons and they pass. And they're temporary. Okay? I mean, you know, it's like the Bible says, you know, life is kind of a vapor. It's here and gone. The grass is here and it's gone and it fades away. I mean, just, it was yesterday. I was recalling some things from my childhood, you know. I don't know, it was just kind of one of those moments and days, and Brock was out and Sue was out, and it was just kind of, I had a period of the day where it was just kind of myself. And I don't know, I just, for some reason, I thought about some things when I was a kid. And some of them, it seemed like it was only kind of yesterday, you know. And then other things, it was like it was a lifetime ago, you know. And, you know, I'm not that old. Hey, come on, I'm younger than some of you. Yeah. You know, I was just kind of remembering some things, and yet it was like, man, where did time go? You know? Our youngest is going to be 23 this summer. Man, my wife is old, beautiful. If you want to go shopping this week, just go ahead and, you know, whatever you do. You know, we're too young to have children that old. Where'd the time go? You know? I mean, we're too young to be grandparents. The number doesn't say so, but, you know, where did it go? And it just, and times have gone. And then, you know, I listen to my children and they share things from their life. And then I recall that, you know, I get it. I understand, because I remember us going through something like that. And now we're, you know, at a different stage in life, and we can reflect on those things that are no longer new to us because it's not the first time. And it's like, you know, how has life unfolded? You know, and things change. And you know, and hardships are here, and sometimes you feel like you're going from hardship to hardship. I mean, from the petty little things, like it was windy this last week, high winds, and there was a family in our church that the wind was so strong up on the ridge, it took and just blew their storm door off. You know, and, you know, that's not life-threatening or anything like that, but, you know, it's a headache, right? I got to fix the thing. First, I got to go get it, you know. Yeah, I talked to somebody else this morning, and they were just sharing. They weren't complaining. They were just talking about this, you know, we've gone through this, and the Lord has helped us to go through it well. And our children, they kind of know that we've kind of been in this little bit of a trial with some things that unfold in our life we didn't have control over. And they're watching, you know, us just walk through this with, you know, a peace in the Lord. Because, you know, they have two vehicles, and almost simultaneously, they had to replace the motor in both vehicles. Well, that's a little less petty than a storm door, you know, because the inconvenience of now which vehicle we take, which one's running, and now we got to, you know, and where does the money come from, and, you know, however that plays out in people's lives, or, you know, how do we do this, and, you know, and just continue to walk with the joy before the Lord and walk through the planning and the hassle of all this, you know, to more extreme things where, you know, there's broken relationship and how does that get restored, or how do I forgive and walk on with some of the hurt that's been left behind, and, you know, things like that, and, you know, maybe other things in the way of sickness that is life-threatening, and, you know, then maybe losing someone you've loved or close to you in these things. What about, you know, the dreams you have, and you're just left with disappointment. It just didn't happen like you hoped and like you worked for and prepared for and took the risk for. And then you're left to deal with it, you know, mentally and emotionally. And, you know, sometimes people knew the price you paid and it didn't work out, and now you got to try to act like you're okay, and you're not okay. The things in this life, I mean, it can be tough. It can be hard. I mean, you can, you know, all the way to coming to a place where you're old enough, the number of your age says that you can retire, but financially and economically and what's happened is, I can't retire. Now what do I do? This isn't how I kind of hoped and planned or tried to work for, and now, you know, how am I going to live? How am I going to do this? You know, and so those kind of things can unfold in our life. Sometimes we feel like if we have a lot of possessions and we have some money saved or money put away, we feel like, you know, nothing can touch us. I want to remind you that, you know, in one breath, it can be gone. Life becomes very volatile, and it becomes very mortal. I want to read Psalm 127 in light of all of this. The psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes this. And now this is a song of that Solomon wrote. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build the house labor in vain." So he calls you, the psalmist here calls you a builder. We are builders and we can build in vain. Let's go on. It says, "Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen," us, we watch over our stuff and over our family, and we want to protect it, and we want to see, you know, when the trouble's coming, and we want to, you know, stay up and take care of all these things that represent our life. It says, "Unless the Lord watches over it, the watchman stays awake in vain." It says, "It is in vain that you and I rise up early and go to bed late. eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved rest. So in this passage, Solomon says, we're builders, we're watchmen, and we laborers. Those are things that identify us in this passage, how he identifies humanity. And you and I have tried to maybe build a life and get going, or some of us time has just gone on and, you know, we look around and what does our life represent? It's kind of what we've built, whether the dreams have come true or some of them or none of them. We've tried to build and we've tried to toil and we've tried to provide and we've labored and we've tried to watch over our stuff and sleepless nights and, you know, economically we sometimes are watching and we lose sleep and all of these things and, you know, we're going to sell our house and we're going to, no, we want to buy another one and, you know, we're up and we're trying to work out the finances and is the house going to close or is it not going to close or we're looking over the stuff in our garage or in our house or, you know, a vacation property or we own multiple properties and, you know, we got to have security cameras at the property we're not so we can look on our phone and see if anybody's in our living room that we don't know. All this stuff that we got to watch over and finances, whether it's investments you made or whether your checkbook is lean and you're just concerned about the next payday and groceries and paying our bills on time and how do we do all this? And have we thrown in the towel? Have we said it doesn't matter? Ready to just kind of stop trying? Or we just kind of go off every day and just kind of do the same thing over and figure, well, this is my life. And it hasn't really come to much. And there's no peace. And we just worry about everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 3, part of that verse, it says, there's a time to tear down and there's a time to build. I don't know if you've ever sold any properties that you've had or someone wanted to buy it and so you sold it and they bought it. Maybe it's a property, it was a house or whatever it was. Maybe it was a motorcycle and as you see it later on, you don't even recognize it because they bought this motorcycle you thought that they liked and wanted and they just basically tore it all apart and put new parts on it and changed it and it doesn't even look like your old motorcycle. I'm not speaking from experience, by the way. On that. Whatever it is, I want to remind you that, you know, there's times where I've noticed, and this was just recent, my parents came to town for one day. They are in the process of closing on their property and they're relocating. And they're wanting to relocate here. One of the reasons is they like you. And church and faith is very much a part of their life. They're in their early to mid-70s. You know, they're retired. And their health is still pretty good. And they're downsizing. They're at a place where they want to start to go through the struggle of simplifying some things. You know, he has an outbuilding. He has a very large detached garage. They are full. And now they're looking at leaving this 40 acres in north central Wisconsin and relocating here, and they want to live in a neighborhood. A two-stall garage. He's got to sell his tractor, all this kind of stuff. She called me one day last week. She said, we spent the whole day packing just up in the loft part of the one garage. And she started laughing. I said, what's so funny? She said, I've been telling them we got to downsize, we got to get rid of stuff. At the end of the day, she said, I couldn't believe it. We went through a bunch of stuff packing all day and we didn't throw one thing away. A The point I'm getting at is they came to town, and so they got to get familiar with this market, you know, because where they're at, in their place, what can they get here? So we're, you know, looking from Tomo all the way over to Onalaska, and I even took them up to part of Holman, and, you know, the further we got from Sparta, I could see that their excitement was waning. I think they want to be here. Oh, God, help me. No, I mean, I'm just trying to get rid of my last kid, you know, and now I got the parents moving into my neighborhood. No. I think for the podcast and website, we should do service one. I didn't say that part. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking around. But I got to take them around and kind of show them the area and kind of, you know, what's the market like and what can you get for X amount of dollars. And as I was driving around, I started to clue into some things, you know. Oh, there used to be a property here, but that building's gone. And then over here, there was a building that went up. And another property, you know, over here, that used to be that color, and I noticed it wasn't the same. You know, just kind of clued in instead of just driving around and randomly. Because we were looking for places, and when did they put this roundabout in, you know? Obviously, I wasn't over to that neighborhood for a while. And, you know, just different things that, and you look and you see sometimes somebody buys something. You think they want it, and they buy it, and then you discover they tore it down. Now, at one point, that was your building. That was part of your life. It's kind of what you liked and took some pride in, and they went and destroyed it and put up something in their mind that they thought was an improvement or something better. Well, I want you to know that before faith in Christ, that's kind of how this goes. We've built something, we've tried something, we've done our own thing, and all of a sudden we put faith in Christ, and the things that we have done outside of His plan and purpose and our way gets tore down. And He brings something new to us, something new. New into our life. And at the moment, we don't quite grasp it or understand it because that was what represented our life. Whether people liked it or didn't or whatever, whether you were real fond of it or not, it gets tore down and He brings something that's better. It's a time to build now. Something new. And sometimes in this life, we feel like circumstances of life kept robbing us of opportunity or what we were trying to build, or maybe it was, you know, what they call a pipe dream, and, you know, people around us said, you know, this is where you come from and who you are, and you'll never be more than this. And we, through frustration, then come to a point sometimes where we buy into it. If we try to do things independently of the Lord in our life, we build in vain. We watch over it in vain. We toil over things in vain. You see, the passage here, Solomon, man who was wise, known for his wisdom that God gave him, says, you can build your life and you can build your plan or you can build your house or you can build your whatever that represents to you. He says, unless the Lord builds it, what you're doing is in vain. It's not going to matter. It's not going to count. And you may feel sometimes you're getting somewhere. You know, the old song, I did it my way. I want you to know, in the end, Sinatra's going to find out that his way ends in death. Some of you are like, who's Sinatra and why are people laughing? Those of you who know Sinatra, you just dated yourself, by the way. I only know of it because that was the era of my great 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 grandfather. I'm so young. But. You know, you're going to labor in vain. There's some things that you think are maybe are fruitful in your life, or you think you've been able to do, and you think, hey, this has marked success, and obviously God has blessed me. I want you to know and consider that some of that what you consider blessing has not been from Him at all. You've just built it and done it and bought it and all of that. And now you can watch over it. That's why you watch some people who get a little older, they start to go, oh, that stuff I so desperately wanted and watched over and that I haven't used, that I still feel like I got to have. They come to a point and they're like, I just got to get rid of this. So then they give some of it away and burden their kids with it. And the kids go, oh, yeah, finally, you know. I didn't have to wait for the old man to die. I got it early, you know. And now I can have this boat I don't use and have this that I don't use. And now I got to, you know, change the oil in it even though I haven't used it the last year. And we get, you know, and we start, and we build this life. And we got to watch over it now. And now we're up all night and we're worried about, you know, instead of having a moment to enjoy with the family, now it's we've got to use the boat. But we don't want to. You're going for a boat ride tomorrow. You know, and we're, you know, now the thing that was supposed to bring enjoyment brings burden, and, we, you know, and it's not wrong to have stuff. You know, the attitude is what is wrong or right in us, and you can have a bad attitude and not have anything. Just remember that. Materialism isn't based on the materials you got, it's an attitude within us. And so we try to build this life and what we think it should represent. And I want you to know, whether you're happy or disappointed or in between, we can build in vain. Whether we have built much or we feel like we've built a lot, it doesn't matter. The building's all been in vain. If it's been apart from God's purpose, where He is the architect and the master builder. You and I, what good does it do to stay up all night with anxiety or worry, or lose sleep with worry, or trying to watch over things? Does anxiety and worry add anything good to your life? That's why the New Testament and Jesus and the Apostle Paul, I mean, they spoke against this. And it's in this passage of 127, Solomon says, you watchmen, who are up all night and you're watching over the city, you're watching over your stuff, or you and I are watching over the stuff in our life. He says, unless the Lord's the watchman, you're watching in vain. He says that you toil over what you're going to eat and all these things. And now understand, it doesn't remove responsibility from us. You know, the scripture's clear on, you know, put your hands to work, and the person who doesn't work shouldn't eat. And there's responsibility and there's labor, and, you know, all that we put our hand to do, we should do unto the Lord. And whether we are a slave or an employee or a workman, we're supposed to do it unto the Lord, and we're supposed to be diligent, and, you know, all of that. We have responsibility, but we're supposed to be keeping in step with what the master builder and watchmen want. I'll tell you what, it is very peaceful to be able to say, Lord, you're the watchman over this. Not that I don't watch or that I shouldn't maintain things or take care of things. You know, we're supposed to be faithful with all little opportunities and little things that we have. You know, we're supposed to be faithful and reflect who He is, but He's got to be the watchman. Whether it's all your stuff, or whether you're concerned about how long your groceries are going to last until your next payday. He's the watchman. If we do it apart from His plan and we do it our own way, we're going to lose sleep, we're going to have anxiety, we're going to allow pride to creep in, all of these things that destroy us from the inside out. The inner place, the inmost being where Christ is supposed to dwell and be Lord. Some of you are going through hardship and you're trying to make your way out. Until we really surrender to the Lord and let him draft the plan and allow him to be the builder. He will be the watchman. He will watch over it. He will watch over your life. We still try to be faithful, and we're not always, and we make mistakes, but he's bigger than our mistakes. He is bigger than your mistake. He is bigger than your past. Turn to the person next to you, please, and just say, God is bigger than your past. So whether life you've built in something, circumstances, situations, whatever it is that have come and demolished it and fought against it and tore things down, or whether you feel like you've had the blessing of God because you're gauging it upon the possessions you have, which is not always an indicator of God's blessing or that God has built the house. If he wanted to tear it down and that was his plan, would you let it go? And have the faith for what he now wants to bring into your life? Is God really the builder of your life and your house? Is he really the watchman over your stuff? The things that represent your life? Is he the watchman over your relationships? Is he the watchman over your children? Or are you just going to follow him everywhere to school? You know, before my mom was a believer in Christ and I was, you know, the oldest firstborn, and you have all these hypersensitivities for your first child because it's all new and you want everything to be just perfect and just right. Listen, I didn't find out till years later that my mother, because I walk, you know, back in the day when kids walked to school, I can count on one hand, I think, how many times all four of our children ever walked to school. It's amazing. That's not a criticism or anything. Okay, so, you know, I mean, for a while we rented a house on Montgomery Street, okay? West Montgomery Street, which is four blocks or so, five maybe, from the high school. They got rides. This soft, tender generation. Well, I should give a reasonable excuse that some of them, the daughters, got rides because we had three daughters getting ready with limited bathroom space. So they were always rushing out the last minute, you know, because beauty has its price. What are you covering up over here and talking? My wife was holding up her little notebook and talking behind it to my daughter. She didn't live there. See, in some ways, it's all a blur. You know? That's right. You didn't live in that house. Of course, you were angelic. You know? But, yeah. Yeah, she had natural beauty. She never had to, you know, do anything to look. Yeah. So, you know, anyhow, we want to do everything right. We want to protect your kid. We want to do this. My mother, back to the story, my mother used to follow me and hide behind trees as I would walk to kindergarten. She did. She'd follow and jump behind, you know, big old trees. Do you remember neighborhoods, or maybe we, I don't know if we still have them around here, where, you know, they had the front yard, the sidewalk, and then a strip of grass, and then the curb? Okay, I grew up in that town. Okay, so on those little islands were big old trees that my skinny little mother could hide behind and follow me to school. I mean, I appreciate it, and that was nice. I don't know that she ever met any other mothers on the way. But at some point, you know, we want to be diligent to care. But he has to be the watchman. We should do our part. I'm not just saying let your kids run. But at some point, he's the watchman. You and I can go beyond what we would measure and all of this and have anxiety and worry, but unless the Lord's watching anyhow, we're doing it in vain. You and I cannot stop all circumstances and all situations. It is why we should surrender to the Lord, because He is the master watchman. He's the master builder. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. What I'm saying to you is this: we should be faithful in what is before us, but understand something. It is not all on you. What happens in your life is not all on you. When you have faith in Christ, He becomes the builder. I still put my hands to work, but He's the builder. I still take care of and watch over family and my life and relationship, but he's the master watchman. As if I can control everything. And when we get an attitude of we get to control everything, we just open the door to worry, anxiety, frustration, and hurtful relationships. Because everything's got to go through me. There's a point where we just allow everything to go through God. And what is His plan? What does He want to build? What does He want to watch over? What does He want to tear down? What does He want to build up that's new? I'll do my part, but He's still my provider. He's my provider. Listen, I know my paycheck at the top says New Life Assembly of God. But He's the one who's my provider. He knows how to bring things in on the wind. He knows how to bring manna in and bring it in on the wind to feed you and care for you. You can't make that happen. You cannot make that happen. You think you can make opportunities happen? Who's the one that opens the door of opportunities? Who's the one who closes the doors? I'm pushing my way in. I'm going to rely on my gift, and I'm going to rely on this and this. And we force things to happen. And we try to slap God's name on it, like it's His blessing and it's His will. And you know what? There are things that have happened that are just not, He has not been the builder of it. It's not all on you. We have responsibilities, but it is not all on you. It is on Him. We're to be faithful. That's our business. Our part of the agreement is I have to be faithful. His part of the agreement is that He's the builder, He's the designer, He's the provider, He's the watchman. Don't do His business and take it into your own hands. Because it is not all on you. What's on us is that with His help, be as faithful as we can. And the watchman part, and the builder part, and the provider part, that's his responsibility. Don't put your nose in what your coworker's doing. You put your nose in what you're supposed to be doing. In this relationship with God, you mind your part. He'll take care of His because He's faithful. And if you take it into your own hands, you and I, we will be guilty of doing things in vain. In the end, it will be revealed. Right? Because the wood, the hay, and the stubble will burn up. And what is gold, silver, and precious stones is what will remain. So if you're in a hard place, do your part and trust the Lord to be the builder. If you've been building and trying to do your own plan and make it happen, and you're frustrated and hurt and bewildered and it just hasn't worked out, maybe we need to take a step back and say, you know what, I'm taking my hands off the whole building part. I want You to build it. I'll be faithful. I'll do what I have to do. But I need You to build it, and I need You to watch over it. in Psalm 126, at near the end of that, is leading into 127. I just want to read this in closing. The psalmist writes, verse 4, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap forth in shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing in the sheaves," bringing in the harvest. I want you to get the imagery here that the psalmist is talking about. And that there's a couple places in Scripture where this imagery comes, where it says they go forth in seed and they kind of go forth in tears. The imagery is this, that the man has seed and he's carrying it out to his field. And the wife is coming along begging and pleading, "Please, leave some more seed back. Leave some kernels back. I've got to have flour. I've got to make bread. We have to feed ourselves and our family." And it's at this point of how much do I leave back and how much do I plant and go through now so that in the end there will be a greater harvest. And she follows him to the field begging and pleading, "Please leave more. We need to feed ourselves more. I want to make sure that our children have enough." And he is going out and it is hard on him. You know how this is. Your spouse is pleading, begging. Her concern is real. And you're going out with seed to plant instead of put it immediately in your kitchen. And a time of waiting has to happen for it to grow and be fruitful, that there would be a greater harvest that you could bring into your house. And enough that you will feed your house and also be able to plant again. It's that hard, tearing moment of, do we just do this for now with no future, with no fruitfulness? That's the imagery, is that they go out with tears to plant. And toil, and some anxiety, and some concern, knowing that the day will come and believing the day will come where they'll come back to the house with shouts of joy because it was a bumper crop. And that's part of this life for us, is things are hard and all of this, and we don't want to do it in vain. If we're going to be part of the building, part of the watching, we don't want to be consumed by it. We want to learn to trust the Lord, do our part, and allow Him to be fruitful and to pour into our lives any way He chooses. So the question comes back to this. Who's the builder of your life? Who's the watchman over your life and your family and your funds and your stuff? Who's really the provider? Is it you? Or is it Him? Because if you're building and you think you're the watchman, you think you're the provider, all that you're doing is in vain and it will burn up in the end. For those who are struggling in this room, turn to the Lord. He's got a plan, not to harm you, but to prosper you. Care for you and lead you. And if He wants to tear something down in your life, don't cling to it. Cling to Him and let Him build that which He sees as better from His view. Because in God, the latter is always greater than the former.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.